The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Amateur Traveler, episode 380. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about baseball and barbecue and fountains as we go to the Paris of the Plains, Kansas City. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. This episode of the Amateur Traveler is again sponsored by Viator. And I see that some of you are using the Amateur Traveler Viator link, and I thank you. Thanks to Wayne this week, who is using it for a San Diego Harbor dinner cruise. I hadn't even thought about I should look for opportunities for Viator in my hometown as well. You can find tours like day tours like Wayne did by going to amateurtraveler.com/tours. Before we get into this week's episode, I do have three news stories for you. 2 years ago, I was predicting that the U.S. was going to allow travel to Cuba. I'm a little less sure now because they just slapped American Express with a penalty, $5.2 million, to settle a possible civil liability because it was booking 14,000 tickets issued by its foreign subsidiaries for travel to Cuba. And because it is a U.S. regulated bank, that is against the law. So it doesn't look like they're getting lax on the enforcement with Cuba yet. Speaking of banana republics, if you buy your bananas in the store and you see a QR code on it, they may come from Ecuador. Ecuador is trying to get more tourism, and the way they're advertising is on a QR code, that is the little code that you can read with an application on your phone, on the bananas, which are their number one exports. Hey, you've got the real estate, might as well sell it. And then speaking of selling real estate, the MTA is considering selling rights to name subway stations in New York City. That may be a little confusing because most subway stations in New York are named by the street they're at, and that makes them easier to find. Here's an idea for you. Why don't you sell the naming rights to Subway? For links to all three of those stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I have a big and personal story that I'm going to talk about later on after the interview this week. Might jump to the end where there's some interesting personal news about what I'm going to do next. I'd like to welcome back to the show Rob Walsh from Libsyn. Libsyn that hosts this podcast, come to talk about Kansas City. Rob, welcome to the show.
Chris, thanks for having me on again.
And I should say that Rob has podcasts of his own that you've had at least as long as I've had a podcast. I think Podcast 411 goes back that far. And also Today in iOS about the iPhone and iPod. We'll talk more about those later. And we met at the first podcasting conference way back almost 8 years ago now.
Yeah, you interviewed me on the stairs. We talked about me splitting my pants in India and breaking the toilet in San Jose, I think, were some of the fun things we talked about from my embarrassing times traveling.
And people will have to go check out an old show about travel to Shanghai for that. But Kansas City, you moved to Kansas City actually since we originally met. You've been there 7 years now?
Yep. Yeah, just was it late 2005. So yeah, 8 years. 8 years now.
Long enough to know the city and short enough to be able to see it with outside eyes too. So why should we come to Kansas City?
Well, I would like to say if you're a sports fan, Kansas City has some really unique sports stuff. If you're a baseball fan, you have to see the Negro League Baseball Museum and then catch a Royals game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do the same, you know, in the same day. Go to the Negro League Baseball Museum in the morning and head off to a Royals game in the afternoon. It's just such a unique perspective, especially if you have kids, because you're going to get a lot of the questions. What do you mean they played in different leagues? Because it was such a different time. Even for us in the mid-40s, we never realized that there was segregation. And it just gives you such a different view of how baseball used to be and how America used to be.
And Kansas City, the home of the old Kansas City Monarchs.
Yes.
And yep. a lot of well-known baseball players played for the Monarchs, either before they played for the major leagues or...
Yeah, I mean, if you saw the movie recently, 42, mm-hmm. actually, they premiered it here. Harrison Ford came in town, and they had some big stuff to do at the Negro League Baseball Museum. And it, by the way, great movie. But yeah, they talk about some of that history and some of the players that came through. So definitely something to go see. Definitely a unique museum, especially if you're a baseball aficionado.
Excellent.
Now, if you're a basketball aficionado and you're in Kansas City in the wintertime, you have to go to a KU basketball game. Tickets are pricey, but the experience at Allen Fieldhouse, they cramming all those people into this small little field house and how vibrant they are. If you love college basketball, Allen Fieldhouse is one of the meccas you have to go to. I always say, if you've never been to a KU basketball game, you really haven't been to a college basketball game. It's just incredible atmosphere. Even if you don't like KU, you still go there. Even if they're playing a Division II school at the beginning of the season, it's still nuts. It's a great environment for college basketball.
And what's just different about it? Just the scale or the enthusiasm? Or
they fit in what would normally be about, in most stadiums that would seat 6,000, they fit 14 to 15,000 in there.
Oh my.
It's all bleachers. There's no seats. So it's bleachers all the way around. And they just cram them in, and the students just jumping and vibrating and just going the whole time. It's just great enthusiasm. It doesn't matter who they're playing. It's just an electric feeling. They just live, breathe, die KU basketball in Lawrence, Kansas. And it's just 30 minutes outside of Kansas City. So you get a rental car, drive out there. It's really easy to get to, and 45 minutes maybe if you're in Kansas City. But it's easy to get to, and it's a great atmosphere for college basketball.
Now, Lawrence, Kansas, the original coach of Lawrence, Kansas was the guy who invented basketball.
Yes, Dr. Naismith.
The only losing coach, as I recall, in KU history.
Yeah, they don't have too many losing coaches. KU does pretty well. And this year coming up, they have a phenom freshman. So if you're going to be there this year, you're going to get to see a future NBA All-Star for sure.
Excellent.
Sticking on the sports theme, NASCAR is in October. And if you time it right, you may even be able to do a NASCAR event and a Chiefs football game. And Chiefs Arrowhead Stadium is another great venue if you love professional football to go check out a Chiefs game.
Now, in October, we're less likely to find the Royals still playing.
Yeah, that's not going to happen for a while. Yeah, unfortunately, while I loved it going to Royals games, it's more about who's the visiting team is more of the attraction than the Royals. It's sad.
Okay.
But the Royal Stadium is a great stadium, and it's cheaper than going to a movie sometimes. You get general admission tickets, and the seats are pretty good and reasonably priced. So that's a nice thing about Kansas City. Most stuff is reasonably priced. Matter of fact, the most expensive thing of all the stuff, the KU basketball tickets are more expensive than the Chiefs football tickets.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
And I guess to kind of throw this one in there as sports would be the American Royal Rodeo.
Oh, okay.
And is also what goes with that is the American Royal Barbecue. Now, I should point out, the barbecue is before the rodeo. So it starts the event with the barbecue, so you don't have to worry about what you're eating. So just want to point that out. And the American Royal Barbecue is like the all-star barbecue. If you like barbecue, you got to come down to the American Royal. And that usually runs from early September through early November. And if you time it right again, you hit that first weekend in October, then you can do the American Royal, you can do Chiefs, if you're lucky, and NASCAR.
Now, you mentioned barbecue, and we didn't get very far into a show about Kansas City before barbecue came up. I work with somebody from Kansas City who is, I would have to say, a barbecue snob, because we brought in the local barbecue joint's place today, and he's just singularly not impressed. And we're talking about somebody who will stay up literally all night for 12 hours to smoke a brisket to the right amount of smoked. So
what was his restaurant of choice? Because there is almost a religious debate in the city of which is the best barbecue place.
He gave me three, and I don't think I remember the names. Two of them were for the same family, though.
Fiorello's Jack Stack, maybe?
That could be.
That's one of my favorites. Oklahoma Joe's is another one, and there seems to be a little divide there between the two. Zarda is another one. Those are the three of my favorites.
I think actually you came up with the same three that he did. And why is there a divide? Some people like...
Some people are Arthur Bryant's fans. Some people are Gates fans. Those aren't my favorite, let's put it that way. But they are other people, and you get some people there that are really big into Oklahoma Joe's now. My favorite barbecue place of all time was a place called Parker's. And rumor has it, this place was started as a money laundering front. And it did well. It did so well. They weren't able to launder money. And eventually shut down. But it was like in the early or mid-90s, it was the first place I'd ever heard of sweet potato fries. And it was just okay. Incredible barbecue. And it was all cooked with smoked wood. And it was brisket. It was just incredible barbecue. But the rumor around town was that it was a money laundering front. So who knows if that was true or not. But that just happened to succeed. I know. It sounds like something out of a movie.
And I haven't been to Kansas City, but I have had Kansas City burnt ends at my favorite barbecue place outside of Boston.
That's what Kansas City is known for. If you're going to go get barbecue in Kansas City, definitely get burnt ends.
And you have to describe what that is, because that sounds like the oddest thing to order.
It's the end of the rack of ribs, and it just gets well done, well cooked, and it's just solid meat. So there's no bones in there. So you're just getting these chunks of meat, and they call that the burnt ends. I don't know if it's always from the end, but it's nice chunks of meat, no bone, no messing. And if you like your barbecue barbecued, burnt end will definitely fill that need.
Now, Kansas City obviously has a big tradition with the cowboy and being the end of the trail where the beef would come up from Texas.
My favorite two steak restaurants, Jess and Jim's would be number one, and then Hereford House would be number two. But Jess and Jim's is down in a little place called Martin City. It's actually right across the road from Fiorello's Jack Stack, but it's a great place. Matter of fact, when I got interviewed for my job back in 1988, that was one of the places they took me to during my job interview when I came out to Kansas City originally. Jess and Jim's gives you these big, juicy steaks and a baked potato that's the size of a small football.
And for our listeners who are vegetarians, should we just send them to some other city than Kansas City? Or
yes, Kansas City's not your city. Yeah, it's definitely not a vegetarian-friendly or vegan-friendly city. It's known for its meat. It's like going to Brazil and looking as a vegetarian. You don't want to go to Brazil as a vegetarian either.
Okay. And what else should we do and see in Kansas City?
So if you have kids, Science City at Union Station is a great place to take kids. In June, there is a Maker Faire. So if you time it right, you can do a Maker Faire at the Science City, and then you get to go into the Science City and do the Maker Faire all in one weekend.
Now, we have a Maker Faire here, so I know what you're talking about, but I'm not going to assume that everyone does.
Oh, Maker Faire from Maker Magazine. It's basically a series of events around the country where they promote DIY and do-it-yourself type events, and they have all kinds of different crafts and strange people with pierces in their noses and other places they shouldn't have piercings. But it brings out the eclectic do-it-yourselfer.
And when you say do-it-yourselfer, I think some people might be thinking, like, if I want to refinish my hardwood floors, but we're talking about people who make robots and animated dragons
And 3D printing.
3D printing. And,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, the printing, 3D printing is real big. But yeah, robots and all that stuff. They have where they soup up the kids' go-karts, Power Wheels racing. So they have that series, which is always fun. Every year I try to take my kids to that for the last 3 years, and they've had a really good time with that. That was just 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago here in Kansas City. So you usually do it near the end of June.
Cool. Okay.
Another one is Wonderscope Children's Museum, which is a fun hands-on type thing where they get to play with all kinds of stuff. So it's good for younger kids, 3 to 8 type age range.
Okay.
Crown Center has a Legoland, which I want to warn you is really more like Lego floor.
Okay.
Young kids like it, but as an adult, you're like, really? I spent that much money on this? Okay. But some people are really blockheads, and you do need to have a kid to get into Legoland. So if you don't have a kid, you're going to have to go rent one somewhere.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, they do allow, I think once a week, there's a certain time where they allow the adult blockheads come in. But the rest of the time, you can't go into Legoland unless you're with a kid.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
So if you have kids, Legoland's really something you can do once.
I was going to say, I usually ask, what did the guidebooks recommend that you would say pass on? And it sounds like Legoland is on the bubble for you there.
If you have young kids, my kids liked it. So it's like, okay, I felt good that they liked it. I was just like, really? Okay. But some blockheads really like it and go back on a regular basis. It's a little bit on the pricey side. While you're there, though, right near it is Hallmark. And Hallmark in the Crown Center has this thing called Kaleidoscope, which is free for the kids. And you go in and they make all kinds of artsy stuff. So that's pretty nice. And while you're there.
And Crown Center is a mall.
Crown Center is kind of, yeah, it's like a little mall that is Hallmark, has a big store there. So if you're into collectibles.
Hallmark is from Kansas City.
Correct.
Got it.
Yep. And there's a restaurant there that's really worth going. It's called Fritz's. And you sit at your table and they deliver the food by train. So the trains come around and deliver your food to you. So kids love that. And
you, kids of all
phone,
ages.
Yeah, there's a phone at the table and you call your order in and the train comes and drops your food off for you. So it's kind of cool.
Excellent.
The food's not the greatest, but it's one of those things that if you do it, the kids really like it. Speaking of kids, Day Out with Thomas, the Thomas Tank Engine, it's in early June. That's always a good one for the younger kids. If you have any Thomas fans in your household, that is at the Baldwin train station. That's about 45 minutes outside of Kansas City, south of Kansas City. But you can go to the Baldwin Train Depot any time of the year, and they have train rides. So I see some old-fashioned vintage trains and get on a ride to nowhere for a half hour, an hour. That's not a bad one to do. I know our kids like that. We try to go there like once a year to the Baldwin Train Depot. Another really unique one for kids, Paul Messner Puppets. And I found out about this by one of my listeners to Today on iOS podcast. He's a puppeteer, and he was coming into Kansas City and said, hey, you need to, I'm doing a puppet show. Why don't you come and bring your kids up? And I came and watched his puppet show. And it's really neat. They have different puppet shows going throughout the year. It's kind of one of those lost arts, but a guy that was my listener told me there's not too many puppet theaters like this in the U.S. left. Hmm. And the Paul Messner one is considered one of the better ones in the U.S.
Well, I know there's a really well-known one in Southern California, but it's now hurting for funding, so they're trying to keep it open. So it's a dying art form, I'm afraid.
Yeah, the kids really loved it. And it was funny, the one day I was there, my oldest son, his principal was in the audience for that, just happened to be there with her children. So I got kudo brownie points with the principal for taking the kid to this event that my principal was taking her kids to.
Excellent. And can you tell that Rob has kids?
Yes, I have a couple young boys, 5 and 7 now. Some of the stuff I'll talk about is not for kids, but Johnson Farms has a pumpkin picking in the fall, and they have a whole kind of festival stuff that goes around that. And another one that I'm going to actually do this Saturday, which we do each year, is the Berry Patch, and you go pick blueberries, and that's in June and July. And while you're there, inside the shop, you have to check out the replica of Noah's Ark. They have a replica showing what Noah's Ark looked like to scale. It's very unique. I'll leave it at that.
How big a replica are we talking about here?
Oh, it's probably about 6 or 7 feet.
Okay.
And they said, this is how Noah's Ark, here's how it was possible. So they're trying to show you how it was possible. And if you couldn't figure it out, the Berry Patch is very Christian-oriented. They did an incredible job building this Ark. So one of the more unique features in Kansas City.
Excellent. What's going to surprise me about Kansas City?
There's actually some good casinos. People don't realize that we have 5 different casinos here. So if you like to gamble, Kansas City is great for coming to do some gambling. If you're here the first Friday of every month, they have this thing called First Friday, aptly named. And what it is down in the crossroad districts of Kansas City, which 10, 15 years ago was basically abandoned buildings and strip joints. It's kind of had a revival, and now there's art galleries, and they stay open on the first Friday from 7 to 9 at night. And the idea is you go down there, you get some dinner, and then you go to the different art galleries, and you go through, and it's a very wine and cheesy type crowd. But Kansas City's a very artsy crowd, as you mentioned, Hallmark's here. Per capita, we have one of the highest concentrations of artists in the country in Kansas City. So if you're into the arts, you've got that, and then you have the Nelson Atkins Art Museum. We even have the Toy and Miniature Museum, which is another nice museum to catch. And if you want a really abstract museum, the National Airline Museum.
The National Airline Museum. Okay, well, yes. That sounds like something right up my alley here. So it's about commercial air travel, or?
Yes. Yeah. It's not the greatest museum, but it's one of those eclectic museums that.
Why did it end up in Kansas City?
TWA's hub used to be here.
Ah, okay.
Yep. Yeah. Remember back in the days, they couldn't fly all the way across the country. They had to land somewhere.
Right. Sure.
This was the big hub for TWA, and that museum is right around the downtown Kansas City airport. It's a pretty interesting building, and it's an old hangar, and they've got some old planes in there. If you remember the plane from Indiana Jones, mm-hmm. they've got one of those in there. So it's a unique museum. It's one of those off the beaten path. There's a marble factory in Bonner Springs, Kansas, if you want to take your kids. That's one for kids too. But even adults, if you played marbles, there's a marble factory. You can go see how marbles are made.
Now, Rob, one thing I realize, we're a little remiss. We started talking about Kansas City, and I'm assuming that everybody thinks we're talking about Kansas City, Kansas. Has everything we've been talking about been in Kansas, or we have another Kansas City right across the river there?
Yeah. So we're on both sides talking about some of these things. So like the Nelson Atkins Museum is in Missouri, the National Airline Museum, that one's also in Missouri. Some of the other ones, like all the Crown Center and all that stuff, that's in Missouri. The Baseball Museum is also in Missouri. The First Friday stuff is in Missouri. And where Kansas ends and Missouri starts is really hard to tell sometimes. The cities really just roll right into each other. Mm-hmm. They're bordered up, and it's just there's a river, but sometimes you're not sure if you're in Missouri or if you're in Kansas. Some of the places the border is just a street, and some of the places the border is a river.
Well, and for those of you who've never been to Kansas City, if you haven't been to both Kansas and Missouri, you can get two different states to add to your list. So, excellent. Sorry for interrupting you, but I just realized that not everyone was going to have that mental picture that I was looking at in my head.
When you talk to people and you say Kansas City, I think most people just assume Kansas City, Missouri. That's kind of where that's where the Chiefs play. That's where the Royals play. That's where the main city is. That is the more dominant of the two cities. Obviously, that's where the downtown is in Missouri. There's a river market you can go to that has an old steamboat museum. That's another unique one. And they do the farmers market every weekend at that. That's a unique one to go to.
And Rob, I will have to admit that I'm drawing a blank. Which river are we on?
That would be where I think Kansas comes into the Missouri. So I think that's going to be the Missouri right there.
Okay.
Yep, but I could be wrong because they come together, I think, right before where the City River, that might be right where they do the Kansas and Missouri come together right at that point.
All right. Sorry for my interruption. What else should we see in Kansas City?
One thing is becoming a tradition the last few years, and it's usually in early August, is now they have a balloon festival.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep. And it's down in Olathe, Kansas now. And the mall, there's a mall down there that no one likes to go to, but they have the balloon festival at it. There is, if you're into comics, there is a Comic-Con that's a pretty good size one in early April timeframe. One of the more unique ones, things to do, if you are someone that likes auctions and watching these storage wars and stuff like that, there is the first Monday of each month, this place called Stricker's Auction in Gardner, Kansas. And they have been doing auctions down there for 40 years. I used to go to it in the early 90s when I first moved out to Kansas City. And before I moved away in the early 90s, I used to go to this auction. It used to be every Monday, but now it's just once, the first Monday of each month. Anything you can think of has been auctioned at this auction. I've seen baseball pitching machines. I've literally seen the toilets and the kitchen sink. I would go and just get yard tools, whatever I needed. You'd spend $5 and you got every yard tool you could think of. And it was just, it's just a unique auction place. And I remember being in Gardner, which is like out in the boonies. I remember sitting there and someone saying, yep, came up here to the city for this auction each week. So you get a really unique group at the auction. But it's, if you like auctions and watching any of their shows, this is one of those things, especially if you're in the Kansas City area, you should check it out. First Monday of each month. It's called Stricker's Auction. You can look that one up.
And you mentioned that. Any other good side trips that we should do while we're in Kansas City?
There's wineries that if you get yourself out in the Missouri area, there's some wineries you can go to.
You don't say that with great fondness, Rob.
I look at it, if you're really going to go to a winery, are you going to come to Kansas City to go to a winery? It's like saying, come to Kansas City and go skiing. Yeah, sure, there's a place that you can go skiing.
Those are people who can't picture why that's funny. We're talking about the Great Plains here.
Yes. Yeah. You're not going to be, there is a place you can go skiing in Kansas City, quote unquote, let's put quotes around skiing, but nobody that's a serious skier will call it skiing. And no one who's a serious wine connoisseur is going to go. Although with the recent news, the recent news? They said that when they actually tested real, quote, wine experts, only 10% of them could tell the difference between a cheap and an expensive wine.
Right.
So maybe, hey, If that really is true, then why not go to the winery here in Kansas City?
I would expect breweries would be a little more popular in Kansas City.
There are some definite custom breweries. Boulevard Brewery is out of Kansas City. The Roastery is out of Kansas City, which is another neat thing if you're into coffee. If you've heard of the Roastery, it's here, and Danny O'Neill started it many years ago, and it's a pretty nice facility. There's some unique things to do in Kansas City. Let's see, zoos. Let's see, there's in Overland Park, there's the Deanna Rose Petting Zoo.
And we're not petting Deanna Rose. We're petting animals there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is a petting zoo for kids. This is Kansas City Zoo that has lions and cheetahs, obviously. It's mm-hmm. not a petting zoo.
that's probably just as well.
Yeah. They also have a polar bear. Wouldn't want to be. And actually two now. They have two this year. But that actually is a really nice zoo. They continually make improvements on it. And it's reasonably priced. And it's one of those things that we definitely take our kids to. The petting zoo actually is free during the week. And then you only pay if you go on the weekend. It's like really cheap. So that those are two neat things there. There's the Overland Park Arboretum, which is just a nice area for walking around and seeing some nature.
What's the best time of year or day of year to come to Kansas City?
Again, early October, you have a lot of things to choose from. You mm-hmm. can do in that one weekend, you can get NASCAR, you can get First Friday, you can get the American Royal. If you're lucky, you can get a Chiefs game. Yeah, you won't be getting any Royals games anytime soon, but it just really depends if you have kids or not. If you have kids, June timeframe is nice. School's out. That's why the Maker Faire is when it is in June, and there's the Thomas in the beginning of June. So I would say early October, if you can come right around that first weekend in October, you can hit some really interesting things in NASCAR that first weekend as well. There's a lot to choose from in that first weekend.
Excellent. Yeah, actually, we were talking about September because I think actually I could get a Chiefs game because a friend is in charge of the ticket sales for the Chiefs.
But get a Chiefs and a Royals. That's another thing. In September, you can do Chiefs and Royals.
Right,
and
exactly.
If you're a sports fan, again, highly recommend the Negro League Baseball Museum.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would really enjoy.
And Kansas City is a city of fountains. So if you come that time of the year, the fountains are still going. You go to the plaza and see all the different fountains there and all around Kansas City. I think we have more fountains in Kansas City than all but like one other city in the world.
Why is that?
It's just known as the city of fountains. I think okay. If you actually go through the airport, they call it the Paris on the Plains is what Kansas City is called. Don't ask me why. There's a lot of fountains. It's just a big thing in Kansas City. And again, it's a very artsy city because of Hallmark and Hallmark bringing all the artists here. So there's some really nice art galleries. That First Friday is a really fun thing to do, as especially yuppies without kids, or if you're traveling without kids, it's a good fun thing to do.
Excellent. Anything else before we get to our last few questions that we should know before we pack our bags and head to Kansas City?
Bring some extra cash at the casinos. I would say of the two casinos, if you like poker, two of the five best ones would be Harrah's and now Hollywood. So the Hollywood's actually probably the best. Well, that's where all the serious poker players are going to now.
So I'll make sure to go to the other one.
Yeah, it's one of those sayings. You sit down at the table and you don't know who the sucker is. That's you. And you don't want to be at Harrah's, and you definitely don't want to be at Hollywood. That's where the serious poker players go.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Kansas City.
People stopping in the middle of the on-ramp as they're getting onto the highway, they will stop and look at traffic. Instead of speeding up to get on, mm-hmm. they stop and wait for it to be clear. I almost got in an accident when I first moved out here because I'm looking over my left shoulder at where the traffic is, and I look in front and the car stopped in front of me and I had to lock them up and almost ran into the back of the car.
My wife learned to drive that way in New York. I had to teach her not to do that in California.
The accelerator, not the brake when you're getting on the highway.
Best money-saving tip for Kansas City.
There are some free things you can do. So I would say if you're looking for some free stuff to do, the First Friday is a good one. Deanna Rose Petting Zoo if you have kids. The Overland Park Arboretum. These are all things you can do for little to no money. The Balloon Festival is pretty cheap as well. And then again, that Stricker's auction. Nothing beats
all the garden tools you need for $5. You can't beat that.
It's such a unique.
Might have trouble getting those back through the TSA, but maybe this is a road trip. Yeah. Finish the sentence for me. You really know you're in Kansas City when what?
When you see a fountain. There's just so many. Yeah. Again, there's fountains everywhere. So you know you're in Kansas City when you see the fountain.
Or Paris. If you had to summarize Kansas City in three words, what three words would you use?
Really good barbecue.
Excellent. Rob, if people want to find either of the podcasts that you do, where would they find you?
My older one, which is now back monthly, is Podcast 411, which you can find at podcast411.com.
And that's a podcast about podcasting for those who are into that.
Yes. And if you are into iPhones, iPads, iPod touches, iOS devices, you can find my other one at Today in iOS at todayinios.com.
Excellent. And to everyone who is listening to the show regularly, you can thank Libsyn for the fact that you are listening to Amateur Travelers. So it's wonderful to have you on, Rob. We'll have to have you come back every 7 years or so.
Okay. Oh, and if anyone wants to get hold of me, just my day job is Libsyn. If you're interested in podcasting, rob@libsyn.com, libsyn.com. And I can answer any questions you have about podcasting.
Excellent. Rob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Chris, thanks for having me on.
We're having a contest on the Amateur Traveler blog that most of you I know don't go to on a weekly basis this week. And unfortunately, by the time you hear this, the contest will be over and someone will already have won $500 towards hotel stays at the Radisson. And I mention that not to rub it in, but to tell you that if you don't want to miss these things in the future, I did send an email to the mailing list about this contest. So if you sign up on the Amateur Traveler mailing list, you won't miss things like this. And I have at least one other sponsor who's looking to sponsor a contest. So get on the mailing list, and you can do that by going to amateurtraveler.com. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little picture of an envelope. Click on that to join the mailing list. I heard from Jody this week, who is currently a domestic traveler, she says, but just for now. And Jody found the website by listening to This Week in Travel. That's the second time in a week that I've found somebody who discovered that show first, which is interesting to me because that show is the smaller of the shows in terms of audience. But I suppose some people will discover that one first. And I think the name might be a little more appealing than Amateur Traveler to some. And I can understand that. That's my fault. And Jody says, I travel for business about twice a month by air and twice a week drive to Chicagoland area. I have totally caught the travel bug, and I really love learning, listening, reading, and engaging in traveling. I'm one of those that enjoys the journeys as much as the destination. I am also able to incorporate my hobbies into my travel as I like running, and I try and run in new parks and places as much as I can. I also listen to a lot of audiobooks and many various twit.tv podcasts on technology, and so it's great to be able to just take it all with me. Twit.tv is what got me into podcasting in the first place, and I know a few of the hosts over there at twit.tv. Haven't been up to the new facilities, though. As I listen to the most recent and then go back to the earlier podcasts, I just wanted to say keep up the great work on all your fantastic information and work on domestic and international travel. Well, thanks so much, Jody, and I hope you enjoy this one, a domestic one. I do like mixing up both the domestic and the international. I know some of you are only interested in the domestic, and some of you are only interested in the international. I am interested in both. And we're going to be doing here in the next couple weeks just all over the globe, from little corners of Africa to major cities in the U.S. to European destinations again. So I hope you enjoy the mix. Those of you who are stamp collectors may be able to reflect the fact that sometimes making a mistake makes something more valuable. Well, those of you who subscribed to the show last week may have received a collector's edition of last week's episode because in the first version of the show notes, it talked about Velvet, our guest, and it said he, and Velvet, who is a woman, did point out that I had the wrong gender in the show notes. So my apologies to Velvet. The clarification for those of you who are wondering why a woman who she met on the train would let her stay with her, that may make a little more sense to you now. And for those of you who happen to download fast enough, you will have that collector's edition. You can either save that and hope it gains value later, or go in and hand edit it later on to make sure that you have the correct information. And again, my apologies to Velvet. I should say that Rob, who's on the show this week, is a man, and I have met him, so I'm quite sure. More or less sure. Pretty sure. I mentioned earlier on the show that there was going to be an announcement here. I'm actually quitting the day job, and I did this once before. You may remember, those of you who have been around for a while, I'm not quitting it to earn money doing travel blogging and podcasting as I did, because it turns out there is not enough money in it. Some of you may realize that I actually support this show with a day job rather than the other way around. So I don't know if that will have any effect on the show. If things go well, it should not. If I get tight for cash, I might either have to find a sponsor for this or put my time into something else. So if you know somebody who'd like to sponsor the Amateur Traveler, that would be great. If you know somebody who's looking for consulting services for someone who has built websites for quite a lot of large corporations, including Microsoft and eBay and HBO and A&E and History Channel and Biography Channel and a lot of other people who I have worked for over the years, then let me know, because that will help me earn some money to do a project that I'm building, which is a software as a service to help connect bloggers and industry representatives. I'm also going to have a little more flexibility of location. So if you happen to work for a tourism board and you'd like an Amateur Traveler broadcast from your destination, just let me know. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, feel free to send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com or leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can also comment in the Facebook community, facebook.com/amateurtraveler. We talked about the contest there as well. Or follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. Don't forget tours, amateurtraveler.com/tours, and the mailing list. And as always, thanks so much for listening.